Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Vitamins and vegetables today on Advanced. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me in the studio today with my co-host, Linda, as we go through the second part of our Nutrition by Numbers article. This is the January Lifestyle article. In the first part of the article, we had a lesson about calories, where we were talking about this unit of measurement used to measure food. But today, we are moving on to a lesson called the greens powder trap. Now, I will be honest with you, Linda. I had never heard of greens powder until I read this article.
But you know what it is, I imagine.
Not really. Which is why I was tremendously glad when I looked at the schedule and I saw your health-conscious name alongside my name. Yeah. So, greens powder. What is greens powder?
Well, it is the powder form of things that we consider greens, like vegetables or things that are rich in nutrition.
Now, is this all vegetables, or is this just green vegetables?
I would say green vegetables. That's hence its name.
Okay. So the idea here is that you have these powders instead of vegetables.
Right. Similar to vitamins, the same way we take vitamins or supplements, that it's not the actual food, but it's to, well, here in the case of greens powder, it did start as real food, and then it's turned into powder form. While vitamins are not necessarily from actual food.
So what's the trap? You know, because they're basically saying people are being trapped by these powders.
Yeah, thinking that you're going to get all of your nutrition from a pill. That is the trap.
Well, this part is why I was skeptical right from the beginning, because I have... You know, I did a science experiment. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with the concept of the science fair. Basically, it's a competition where individual students are required to do their own science experiment. Now, it doesn't have to be an original experiment necessarily. You can look one up in a book or whatever, but you basically have to conduct an experiment and write a report, and then you build like a presentation thing, and you go to your school, and everybody else has also got theirs, and it's like a contest to see who has the most, what would you say, not unique, like
sometimes
interesting.
Sometimes it comes down to like how unique it is, but
they'll have different prizes though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So nonetheless, you win some prizes for this sort of thing. When I was in grade 7, I did an experiment on how much vitamin C was in different things.
I did the same exact experiment. Yes.
You have to take a little medicine dropper and you put little drops of a solution in, and it changes color when you've saturated the amount of vitamin C because it's got acidic properties, right? So what did you find?
You know, I cannot remember my results, but I did win a prize.
Okay, I did too. This is fantastic. This is probably the best experiment you could do. Okay, so I do remember the results because they were jarring. So one of the things I tested was like fresh squeezed orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know there's health limitations to this, right? Like they say don't drink juices because you don't get the fiber and all of the other stuff. But I was just looking for vitamin C. And what I found was that almost all of the orange sodas and orange mixed drinks available had vastly higher amounts of vitamin C than real orange juice. And so I was like, oh my goodness, like I am going to get to drink orange soda for the rest of my life to stay healthy. But of course, as part of the experiment, I had to test the same liquid again after a period of time. And what I noticed that was that once you exposed the drink to the air, the vitamin C degraded very quickly. So if you didn't drink that orange soda immediately, you were not getting the vitamin C, whereas the orange juice would sort of retain it for a longer period of time.
Right. And something that you couldn't test for your science project is the body's intake, or how much of the body absorbed that vitamin C.
Yeah. Well, what I took from this, what it was hinting at, was that when you use something healthy as an additive, there are things missing that make it less durable and robust and nutritious.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And so, of course, as we went through our biology programs, because listeners, Linda and I both studied biology, though not together or at the same university or the same classes, but you obviously would have learned that vitamins, you know, as supplements, are far less useful than eating the food that contains those vitamins, right?
Exactly, yes.
Because you mentioned absorption into the body. So is this is the trap, effectively.
Yes.
That
Basically. People
think they're getting the healthy stuff, but they're not getting the healthy stuff.
Right. Tricking yourself into thinking, oh, all I need is to take this pill and that I don't need to eat vegetables anymore. No, you still need to eat your vegetables.
So get out there and crunch on some vegetables while you're listening to this advanced program, listeners, and you will stay healthy. I think we should do our first reading. Listeners, we're going to do two readings today. We'll do the first one now. If you want, you can grab some vegetables while you are listening along. Let's do it together.
The Greens Powder Trap? If you've spent any time scrolling social media or shopping grocery aisles, you've likely spotted greens powders or gummies promising to boost everything from brain health to your immune system. But can these trendy supplements really replace the benefits of eating real vegetables? To find out, we talked to Louisa Hammett, the Atlanta-based dietitian. I think that calling them supplements is the important part because they should never replace a healthy diet, Hammett explained. We want to still eat our fruits and veggies. And I think that's something that powdered greens sometimes can be a misconception. According to the U.S. Dietary Guidelines of Americans, adults should aim to consume around 2.5 cups of vegetables each day as part of a healthy diet. This includes fresh, frozen, canned, and dried options. But a recent report shows almost 90% of the U.S. population do not meet the recommendation for vegetable intake. Powdered greens typically combine leafy greens, fruits, algae, and herbs, providing a concentrated dose of micronutrients and antioxidants. They're convenient, easy to add to smoothies, and appealing for busy lifestyles.
Okay. So, listeners, that's largely a reiteration, a repeat, if you will, of what Linda and I were talking about. It tells us that at the very beginning here, if you've spent any time scrolling social media or shopping grocery aisles, you've likely spotted these things that I have never spotted. I do promise I do scroll through social media from time to time, though, and I shop in grocery aisles. Have you seen these here on the island?
I have not. I think you might need to go to more specialized shops, like maybe
nutrition. So it would be fair
shops.
To say this is sort of an American health trend, would you say?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. Though those things do disperse, right? Like drinking whey powder for protein was a very American thing a number of years ago, and now it's more common everywhere,
right?
It's
made its way around the world.
Yeah, so this may be one of those things. We may see greens powders heading our way soon, friends. Nonetheless, the idea is you have these powders.
Gummies.
We'll get into kind of how they use them a little later in this reading. Yeah, there's also gummies. They promise to boost everything from brain health to your immune system. And I think that's... Well, we'll get into that. That's a bit of a trap too, isn't it? But it tells us can these trendy supplements really replace the benefits of eating real vegetables? Linda and I have already kind of spilled the beans on this. We've already said no, they don't. But we do have some interesting insight from this dietitian, Linda, who's basically talking about this word supplement. What does she say?
So she says that it's correct to call them supplements, because that's what they are. They should never replace a healthy diet. So something that supplements your diet is additional. It doesn't replace like the main source of your, you know, where you should be getting your nutrition from.
Okay. So something you add to, an extra thing. Mm-hmm. Something in addition. One of the interesting uses of that word supplement that really describes the role of these kinds of nutritional supplements is the cram school. You know, at one point, sort of the official technical legal term you would hear in English for cram schools was supplementary school,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't replace, you know, primary education.
Right. And that's more the literal translation.
It's something you add extra to it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the same idea here in terms of your diet. So it says we want to still eat our fruits and veggies, and I think that's something that powdered greens sometimes can be a misconception. So miss there, when we see that prefix MIS, it means like not or mistaken, right? And so conception basically is an idea. You conceive of something, you think of something. So this is a mistaken idea. It goes on to tell us that according to the U.S. Dietary Guidelines of America, adults should aim to consume around 2.5 cups of vegetables each day as part of their healthy diet. Are you familiar with these dietary guidelines, Linda?
Somewhat.
Is that like the food pyramid?
Well, that, I think that's a little outdated now. It used to be, like when we were growing up.
I've heard it's terribly inaccurate.
Yeah, we were growing up, that's what we were taught, but it's not what people use, or it's not recommended officially anymore.
So what I've always been told is half the plate should be vegetables and a quarter meat and a quarter starch. You know, that's like so many vegetables. I don't know if I could take it.
Yeah.
So I don't think I have ever eaten that many vegetables. Would you say you eat enough vegetables?
I definitely don't. No.
So you eat a lot of vegetables, right?
I try to eat more vegetables, but I'm not always successful.
Yeah. Okay. So nonetheless, I guess we are not alone in this. It says 90% of the U.S. population do not meet the recommendation for vegetable intake, basically meaning 90% of Americans are not eating enough vegetables. Would you say you can be healthy without eating enough vegetables?
I mean, you will survive. You'll be okay, but mm-hmm. you won't be as healthy as you could be by eating.
See, one of the things we've been talking about over these 2 days is how you are more conscious of things like the number of calories than I am. But I tend to deal with the issue by just like with general rules, like don't eat fried food
mm-hmm.
or don't eat, you know, obviously like sweet food, like dessert stuff, or don't eat, you know what I mean? And then I'll maybe
I have that
like,
approach as well.
Or maybe I'll have like a tweak to the rule, like only have it once a day, you know, things like that. So I think in terms of general rules, as opposed to specific guidelines. Do you think that's a mistake?
No, it's not a mistake, but you can combine it. Like so you have things that you eliminate or that you limit, but then you can also complement that with things that a certain amount of, let's say, water you should drink or vegetables that you should have per day. And then holistically, that will be a much more complete, healthy diet.
But there we go. Okay. It goes on to tell us that powdered greens are a combination of leafy greens. What kind of, that would be like kale, mm-hmm. right? And lettuce?
Yes.
Okay.
Leaf spinach.
You know, some spinach, things like that. Fruits, algae, and herbs or herbs, depending on where you're from. And they provide a concentrated dose of micronutrients and antioxidants. So micronutrients there, I mean, I think generally you can just think vitamins. And antioxidants are specifically what?
They're substances in the food that clean the body and protect it from cancer.
Yeah, they were also a big health fad in recent years. Like people were eating blueberries.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they were antioxidants.
Yes, yeah. A lot of food have them in them.
Okay. So as we move into our second reading, we're going to talk about not ditching your veggies. Let's move into that reading now.
Don't ditch your veggies. But according to Hammett, there's one big drawback. At the end of the day, You're going to get the best nutrients, most importantly fiber, from eating your veggies. And also, it's so much cheaper, she explained. Regarding the safety and selection of greens powders, Hammett emphasized the importance of third-party testing when choosing supplements. Supplements are not regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. Although she doesn't personally reach for green supplement in her day-to-day, Hammett understands their appeal.
Some people do want that extra supplementation, or they're on the go too much, or they're busy moms, she said.
I completely understand that, but I think the important part is just it shouldn't replace it. We should still aim to try to eat whole veggies and whole fruit. In the end, no powder can fully replace a plate of real veggies. But for some, it might just be the push to eat a little greener.
Interesting. Okay, so we're again talking to our dietitian here. And the dietitian is mentioning that there's one big drawback. Now, when we say a big drawback, Linda, a drawback is basically like a...
something that's negative.
Okay, so there's a negative to eating the powdered greens. That's what they're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they had just gone through telling us that you get a concentrated dose of micronutrients and antioxidants, which are good things, but there's a drawback. What is the drawback?
You are not going to get things like fiber from those supplements, which you do get from eating vegetables and fruits. And the other thing is cost. It's more expensive to eat supplements.
I hadn't thought about that. It's definitely true, though. Okay. So there's this idea that basically... Again, it's kind of like we were talking about during the introduction. Whenever you take anything out of the food and you isolate it, it's not quite going to be the complete package that it would be if it was mixed with everything else in its natural environment
exactly,
or setting, right?
Yes.
So you might be missing some things that are important. In this case, fiber. Fiber, I think the real advantage of fiber, I mean, it has a lot of different health benefits, but the one that I find most helpful is that it makes you feel full, right? Like you're not hungry again 30 minutes later. So that's a nice thing about fiber. Okay, and again, the cost. It says regarding the safety and selection of greens powders. Oh, we're getting into some controversy here, Linda. Our dietitian emphasized the importance of third-party testing when choosing supplements. Now, why is she talking about this all of a sudden?
Well, because before the supplements industry was not regulated by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration.
Sort of in the process of being, yeah. I guess, effectively, listeners, in the United States, they have this organization called the Food and Drug Administration that's kind of in charge of consumer safety and standards for food and medication. But food and drug implies that they are separate things. And so there are different standards and different ways in which they treat drugs as compared to food. So the main thing is you don't get to have a medicine that isn't much more rigorously or extensively or heavily tested than food. Food, quite frequently, isn't particularly heavily tested at all, right? In fact, it's far less regulated. They have an acronym. I can't remember what the acronym is. GRAS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Generally regarded as safe, I think it means.
Yes.
Which means you just sort of like, if you're selling corn in a can, then you can just say, well, we added, you know, this salt to, you know, do whatever, and we added this other thing to keep it from going bad. And then they're like, well, yeah, it's probably just like corn. We'll just leave it. Everyone believes it's safe, generally regarded as safe. That's very different than medicine, where you have to prove it's safe, right? So nutritional supplements, things like greens, they've basically been treated as food for a very long time. And so they haven't really been regulated very heavily. The problem with that is nutritional supplements make all kinds of health claims. So when you go to the grocery store and you pick up a loaf of bread, the loaf of bread doesn't say, like, this will improve your eyesight. and help your digestion and
your brain.
Save you from cancer. But when you pick up a bottle of vitamins, it might say all of those things, mm-hmm. even though those things haven't really been proven. And so in the United States, it looks like they're going through a process of developing a more aggressive way of testing nutritional supplements. And part of that may well end up being an inclusion of this third-party testing. So when we say third-party, Linda, if I am the first party and you are the second party, party here meaning individual or group or organization, then we have to hire a third organization,
yeah.
mm-hmm. an outside independent organization to test the product. So you can't do the testing on your product by yourself and report on it to me. You have to get someone else to do it. That's the third-party testing. And so basically we're being told it's important to choose supplements that do third-party testing. At the time this article was written, different companies were basically allowed to decide how they wanted to do it. So presumably some companies were doing a more rigorous testing and other companies were not. So we're being told the more aggressively tested ones are the better choice if you're choosing to buy one. And again, it says here supplements are not regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. That is in the process of shifting, as far as I know. Our dietitian goes on to say, although she doesn't personally reach for greens, she understands the appeal.
Right.
I do too, actually.
Yeah,
do you understand?
People are busy, you know?
Yeah.
They have busy lives. They're on the go too much. They don't have time to sit and eat 2.5 cups of vegetables a day and process that. Or they're just busy moms, like doing this, like trying to keep up with this crazy schedule of all their children. So
cooking is a lot of work.
It is.
Like even if you don't cook, you know, even if you do like light meals, like sandwiches, for example, it's still a lot of work.
Yeah.
Particularly when you have kids.
Right. It requires prep. It requires the actual process of making it and the cleanup.
Well, and if you look at the food that we sort of commonly eat, I'll speak as a North American here, but you look at things like granola bars, you know, they now have like breakfast bars.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with them?
Yes.
They're sort of like cereal in a granola bar, I mm-hmm. guess. It's all the same thing, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, the growth of ready-made meals mm-hmm. and foods that you can grab and go, or microwave meals, stuff like that. That stuff has been common for a long time, you know. And I suppose it's the traditional wisdom would have been, it's okay once in a while when you're in a rush, but you should have the majority of your diet made up of like healthy food that you're sort of preparing. But that has slowly gone away.
Yeah, it's become less and less common, like, to cook at home, have home-cooked meals that you sit down and eat with your family.
And with terrible health consequences.
That's true.
Like in the United States right now, you know, mm-hmm. they have that whole, I don't remember what they call it, Make America Healthy Again kind of movement going on there, mm-hmm. right? But there really is like a very unhealthy population. Yeah.
It's true.
And unfortunately, that seems to be spreading along with development and wealth across the world. So populations all over the place are becoming less and less healthy. I heard on the news the other day that there are now more people who are suffering from overeating than people who don't have enough food in the world.
I can see that.
Okay, so effectively here what we're told is that the reason they are appealing is some people want that extra supplementation. Or they're on the go too much, or they're busy. Now it says moms here, but I'd throw in dads too. Completely understand that, but I think the important part is it shouldn't replace it. We should still aim to try to eat whole veggies and whole fruit. Okay, so Linda, if you had, let's say, 6 children, okay, and you're a working mom,
mm-hmm.
how would you avoid the green powders? How would you make sure those 6 tiny people were eating enough fruit and vegetables?
Well, it would come down to organization, yeah, and planning to make sure that they are provided healthy, nutritious meals.
How would you do it? How would you organize that?
Have a timetable. I would just need to do a lot of prep and be very organized in it. And also recruit your children to help. Yeah, yeah. The older ones can help to make the lunches, you know, help make dinner, start them off young, teach them the right habits so that healthy eating is a part of their life. It's not something that they have to go out of their way to do. It's just an already formed habit that they're used to.
Mm.
Then it won't be so hard.
My wife, years ago, bless her, had this idea. I don't know if it's her idea even, but she introduced it to our household. It's like a box in the fridge of like, I'm going to say healthy-ish snacks. Like it's not junk food, but as for how totally healthy it is, I'm not always going to guarantee that it's that way. But it's stuff that kids can grab as snacks when they are hungry. And that saves so much hassle, you know.
They can just help themselves.
So, wonderful stuff. Friends, don't go the easy route. You're going to pay the price for it in the end, but don't be afraid of supplementing if you can get organized enough to maintain a healthy diet. I guess that's the lesson, right, Linda?
It is, yes.
Listeners, thank you so much for joining us for Nutrition by Numbers, our lifestyle article. We hope you'll join us again soon for another Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, I'm Simon.
I'm Linda.
Saying bye for now.
Bye-bye.